Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Great to be back here with you on Move the Sticks. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks here with you. Both of us spending some time, we're about to spend some time out in Las Vegas as we get set for the East-West Shrine Bowl. Practices begin this coming weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and then Bucky and I will be there Monday and Tuesday as the East and West squads get set to practice at Allegiant Stadium. We'll have some of that coverage for you on NFL Network throughout the day, so looking forward to that. And then, of course, the game in prime time on February 3rd on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern from Allegiant Stadium. Going to be a great event this year at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And it's our great pleasure now to welcome in the Director of Personnel for the Shrine Bowl. Eric Galko is here with us. Eric, what's happening, man? Welcome in.
Things are going great here. We've got players coming in. We've got our week set to go. I'm making sure all the executives coming in are all set to go. So it's going to be an awesome week here out in Las Vegas. Not a bad place to have an all-star game.
You know, Eric, so in thinking about this, just the general overview, what were some of the things that you were trying to accomplish when you thought about putting together this roster?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you know, my past has been a lot of pro personnel. I was an executive with the XFL prior to this. So certainly a lot of college scouting. But for an event, I talked to people like Phil Savage, who ran All-Star Games before, Doug Whaley, Tony Soffoli, people across the All-Star Game platform. And first and foremost is to have a great player experience, right? I want players to get something out of this week beyond four practices in a game, right? Mental health, empowerment, awareness, education, super, super important. Ownership of content and data. So I think making sure the event was great for players has allowed players to see this value as more than just four practices, interviews in a game. So I think building the roster was a bit of kind of being partners with players as opposed to just inviting them. So we've made sure the event hopefully will be a slam dunk and players are going to get a lot out of this. And with that, from a scouting standpoint, it's a mix of our staff working with, you know, internally. We've got great consultants who are former NFL executives, our internal team. And then, of course, as you guys know, these players are here for NFL teams. So working with NFL executives as all the way down to from executives to area scouts to make sure we have here who they want to see and they want to evaluate.
And it's a star-studded roster. I mean, these are a bunch of names that you're going to recognize from Saturdays at college football the last few years. I mean, you got a Fiesta Bowl MVP in Brock Purdy as one of the three quarterbacks from a couple of years ago with Iowa State on the West team. Skylar Thompson, Jack Cohn, Brock Purdy leading the way for the signal callers on the West team. We'll get to the East here in just a second, but I want to start with Brock because, you know, he's a name that people certainly recognize from his work at Iowa State, maybe more so from 2020 or 2019. You know, I think it was a little bit of a rougher road this year for the Cyclones, but a real opportunity for a guy like Brock to show evaluators that, you know, he's a guy that competed at the highest level of college football and can compete on the next level, Eric.
In 2019, as you mentioned, when he kind of burst on the scene,
yeah,
very easy to draw comparisons from him to Baker Mayfield, right? From the size standpoint to how they play to, you know, Brock Purdy, his dad, played professional baseball, the arm talent's there as well. So you see a lot of comparisons. And I think Brock would agree, hey, the 2020, 2021 didn't build as much as we hoped in 2019. But I think one of the cool things Brock has shown is he's been a leader. He's had a lot of NFL personnel, two tight ends in this draft class alone, or two of his tight ends, a lot of NFL receivers, O-linemen he's played with. And intangible-wise, leadership-wise, is absolutely a strength for Brock Purdy. I think at the East-West Shrine Bowl, we've divided our rosters up by personnel groupings, and he'll be on the 12th personnel. He's used to working with two tight ends at Iowa State. he'll show that again during the week of practice. But I think NFL teams see Brock Purdy as, no matter what, that guy's going to be on our roster and he can be a capable quarterback and step in. And we've seen guys like Brock, Gardner Minshew most recently, right? Guys that maybe are a bit unheralded questions about their either mobility or arm talent. And guys like Brock who can improvise, who can make plays downfield, who can manage a game successfully, those guys stick around, and we're seeing more and more those guys get chances to even start games in the NFL. So I think NFL teams are really excited to see Brock Purdy out of Iowa State, not starting out of Iowa State for the last 40 games, coming here with new players. Yeah. And I think if he can impress here, he can make himself a lot of money.
You know, Eric, you brought up something that I think is probably one of the aspects of the game that I think is unique and special. You guys divvied up where you have 12 personnel versus 11 personnel. Can you talk a little bit more about why you elected to go that route when stacking these rosters?
Yeah, and then also 3-4 defense and 4-3 defense on the other side of the ball. And really, and Bucky, again, this is my first year at the Shrine Bowl. I've been in All-Star games for the last two decades like you have. And I've always been surprised it hasn't been the case, because really, especially those sub-package guys, slot receivers, nickel corners, edge rushers, H-back tight ends, they kind of get a tough break at an All-Star game because they're doing something that they didn't really do in college and won't be asked to do in the NFL. So we kind of wanted to fix that and say, hey, there are players designed for certain roles in the NFL. And the point of an All-Star game, in my mind, is to have NFL teams evaluate these guys and where they're going to play at the next level. So for guys like Brock Purdy, who's played with 12 personnel, he can certainly do both. And in practice, he'll do a bit of both. He's not going to run just solely two tight ends all week. But for guys, his tight ends, such as Chigi Okonkwo, Garrett Prince, two great tight end prospects, they're more H-back guys, right? So I think it's really important to kind of allow these guys to thrive and how they're going to thrive in the NFL. So it may seem radical to me. It just was common sense. And we'll see how these players can utilize that and be in their NFL positions here for the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, that's really neat. And obviously, the coaching staffs come from active NFL coaches, now with a, kind of a conglomerate from a bunch of different staffs around the NFL, which I think is really cool. So you're going to kind of get these players are going to get this unique opportunity to hear a lot of different voices from a lot of different philosophies. Right. I mean, that's a big part of this as well.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, the 12 personnel staff, Marcus Brady is the offense coordinator for the Colts. He's the West team head coach. Indianapolis is known for utilizing tight ends in really creative ways, and it kind of fits with that personnel groupings. On the east side of the ball, Danton Lynn's the head coach. He runs a 3-4 defense in Baltimore, right? So they're going to be a 3-4 team. So I hope these players and coaches can kind of work together to make sure that they can show what they can do. And these NFL staffs can't say enough how impressive these coaches, both young and old, position coaches, coordinators, incredibly impressive staff these guys can be evaluated by, as well as work with all week.
And then I wanted to look a little bit on the east side here as we look at the quarterbacks, talked a little bit about Purdy and Cone and Skylar Thompson on the west side. On the east side, really interesting group. You got E.J. Perry from Brown, Dustin Crum, a real interesting guy from Kent State. But I want to talk a little bit about De'Arik King from Miami. A guy who's really, snake bitten by injury the last couple of years, didn't get to see him a ton this year. But man, a lot of talent, whether you watched him at Houston or at Miami, what kind of opportunity is this for a player like De'Arik?
Well, first off, De'Arik has been fascinating to talk with NFL teams about, because he has draftable grades from teams at quarterback, at running back, at receiver, at return specialist. So everybody wants
Sounds
to see
like De'Arik. Bucky.
And he'll be playing quarterback primarily to start the week. But certainly he's aware that, hey, running back, receiver, return specialist may be my destiny. But he'll be playing quarterback to start the week. Fascinating prospect. Again, I think NFL teams want to see him in a lot of spots, but where De'Arik really shines, I've known De'Arik for a couple of years now and got to speak with him many times. Incredibly impressive, clear NFL pro off the field, right? If you draft De'Arik King, you could almost draft him and figure it out later. I remember Malcolm Perry of Navy a few years ago. He was a Shrine Bowl player as well. And the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins or the Ravens, one of the two teams drafted him. And it was just kind of like, we'll figure it out later. Just get him in our locker room, figure it out later too. De'Arik is going to be that kind of guy. So I have no doubt he'll be drafted. What position though? Maybe we'll learn a lot more at the Shrine Bowl and the NFL Combine here the next 2 weeks.
After working in personnel offices for so long, we always are kind of fascinated by legacy. So I'm sitting here looking at the roster, and I see De'Arik Dees Jr. from San Jose State. Give me a little bit of background and perspective on De'Arik Dees Jr., why he's here.
Yeah, one of the more impressive physically tight ends in this draft class, in my opinion, and the ability to kind of get vertical, work with Nick Starkle the last few years at San Jose State, really built a great pedigree and a great relationship in those seam downfield plays. De'Arik, so impressive. We'll see what he weighs in here at the Shrine Bowl, but he plays much bigger than his size. He can get a lot bigger in the NFL if he wants to, and he'll get a chance to show this week that he can be a sound blocker. He'll be on, again, that 11 personnel team, so he'll show he can be a standalone tight end and work from the line of scrimmage attached and still get downfield, but the ball skills, the timing, the ability to win in the seam, those post and corner routes. If you got a tight end not to mention Travis Kelce, but a tight end who can block and run post and seam and get separation. It's hard to beat those guys at the NFL level. So, Derek, a lot of NFL teams are pumped to see Derek work. He'll impress at the combine in his pro day, no doubt. But I think if he can show here, he can run past linebackers, he can run around safeties, and he can block defensive ends, he'll make himself a lot of money here at the Shrine Bowl.
Little father-son connection there. We also have some brotherly connections in this game as well. You know, you and I were talking about it, texting about it earlier this week, Eric. Alec Lindstrom should be very familiar to Falcons fans, who comes over from Boston College on the offensive line. His brother, first-round pick of the Falcons. And then how about Nephi Sewell, who, of course, Lions fans will probably recognize that name from his brother, Penei.
Yeah, and people here at the Shrine Bowl will see Chris at practice and at the game, and we'll see Penei at the game in practice as well, too. So it's fun
to have
kind of support their brothers as well, too. But Alec, a fascinating prospect, been a longtime starter at center, has played some guard as well, too. He's viewed as, I think, one of them, him and his teammate Zion Johnson, who's not going to be here, obviously, both those guys, despite them both being at Boston College, both probably viewed as two of the better center prospects in this draft class. Also, interestingly about Alec, he'll also be long snapping along with Diego Fago on the East team during practice in the game. So one thing we wanted to kind of give these guys an opportunity to do is the more we want versatility, guys playing, we see like Taysom Hill is a quarterback slash tight end. These guys showing versatility. Alec can long snap. We'll see if he can do it at NFL level, but he'll be long snapping for our team as well, too. So Alec Lindstrom, epitome of versatility here all week long. And then Nephi Sewell, active linebacker, safety, special teams ace. Excited to have him here as well.
You know, obviously, when we think about the draft, one of the things that we all do as scouts is we try and identify the strengths and the weaknesses of the draft class. And so if I could ask you, what are the strengths of this roster or these rosters that you've assembled? Where are the best players that you think the guys that scouts are going to be most interested in terms of position group?
Well, I'm pumped about all 129 players we have here, Bucky, but I would say NFL teams are most excited really about our defensive back group. Really talented players, two guys from Arizona State, Jack Jones and Chase Lucas, very high viewed by NFL scouts. Jack Jones has a lot of, you know, five-star pedigree coming out of high school. He's been dominant at Arizona State along with Chase Lucas. Kalen Barnes of Baylor has a lot of top 100 grades around the NFL. Damarian Williams of Houston. I know Marcus Jones, well-known by NFL teams, but his teammate Damarian Williams also has a lot of high grades. Jacoby Durant from MEAC Powerhouse, South Carolina State, was really impressive this year. Had two interceptions against Clemson early in the year and kind of built that way the whole season long. So many more DBs to go through. But I would say, you know, all these guys, I think, will be a pretty strong roster. But DB is one that NFL teams probably have the most top 100 grades around the league.
Yeah, and, you know, I know I'm excited to tell the story once we get to the broadcast of Elijah Hicks from Cal, safety there at Cal, and, you know, been there for a while. And I'll just tell you what, I hope whoever decides on the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the NFL is watching this game and hears the story of Elijah Hicks, because this dude is going to end up as a Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year candidate from his work off the field.
Incredible kid. He's already won awards similar to that at the college and high school level. He'll win a lot more awards in the NFL, too. And as a player, multiple NFL teams, as we built our roster, saying, he's been invited yet? Has Elijah been invited yet? We want to submit the Shrine Bowl, So I'm really excited to have him as well as a player, safety, corner, versatile guy as well. But you're absolutely right. A lot of these guys will show NFL teams and all the executives are going to be here, who they are off the field. And I have no doubt at all that Elijah Hicks will be one NFL scouts leave with and be like, I want that guy on my team. So he'll be a unanimous draftable guy. And I think the NFL teams want him in their locker no matter what.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be an all-star game if I didn't ask you about who is someone who could be a surprise. Like heading into this, someone who would be a sleeper that maybe the outside world doesn't know, but after this game, we might have more conversation about.
Yeah, I got two guys. One on the East roster, Jeffrey Gunter, edge rusher from Coastal Carolina. He is a really impressive individual. He'll impress in interviews, just like we said about Elijah Hicks, but a pass rusher, been productive on a Coastal Carolina team, really ascending. Spoiler alert, he's going to test very well at the NFL Combine here in a few weeks. So I think he'll be impressive there as well, too. But I think his ability to play, again, in that East team 3-4 defense, went off the edge, plenty of pass rush moves. He's been working his butt off to make sure he's here as well, too. I think the East roster has a lot of good NFL offensive tackles. I think if he can impress against all those guys, I think he has a chance to really rise after the Shrine Bowl and then use a great NFL Combine to be vaulted up. And on the West roster, receiver Tyquan Thornton. In a lot of ways, his scouting report is easy. He's 6'4". He's been productive. He's the number one guy at Baylor. He's going to run a 4.3. You know, Bucky, it's hard to find those guys that are 6'4", 4.3 and can be productive. I think just on that alone, he's going to be guy NFL teams want to see. But if you watch him the second half of this past season, the way he's developed as a route runner, getting that late breaking separation, winning in the red zone. Again, 6'4", 4'3 guy could be a red zone threat. Those guys are hard to find. So I'm not going to compare him to Josh Gordon, former Baylor standout receiver, but a lot of those same speed, length, ability in the red zone that I think Josh had NFL team seeing Tyquan Thornton. Those are two guys, among other things, that were really impressed this week.
Yeah, I mean, ton of track speed there. I mean, 10.5 in the 100, 21.07 in the 200 at Miami's Booker T. Washington High School. You know he's got the speed coming from South Florida. And I loved what Dave Aranda said about him, his head coach at Baylor, said, I think where Ty has really grown is in his practice habits, his mindset, his attitude towards work. Those things have really taken off and were probably some hard lessons and all that. And maybe, you know, we'll see some of those practice habits in Las Vegas here in a couple of days. Excited for that. Speaking of track speed, I got one more guy I want to hit you on here. And that's a guy that I'm pretty confident that the majority of the college football world has not yet been introduced to. And that is Tanner Connor from Idaho State, who did not have a football scholarship initially coming out. And it wasn't until he got noticed by the Idaho State track team that he was able to find a football scholarship there at Idaho State, which I think is really cool. Another dude that's got a 10.5, 100-meter dash and really good at the 60-meter hurdles. I mean, he's set all kinds of records at Idaho State on the track. And then, of course, has some really good production on the field as well.
I think important for Tanner Connor, again, 6'4", track speed guy, is really built very well. He's developed as a route runner, especially this past year. And again, if you're that big, if you can run a post route and an out route, you'll find a home in the NFL. But for Tanner Connor, a lot of teams I've spoken with, why I like Tanner so much, ability to be a gunner, a special teams ace, a guy that can really be productive right away on special teams and figure that out. Because if you can carve out that role with that kind of talent, they'll give you 2 years to kind of get better as a receiver on the outside. So I think for Tanner Connor, every team I've spoken with in terms of special teams really wants to see him working on kickoff, working on punt, show we can do that right away. Obviously, the size, the physical build, the 4.4 speed, the newness to football is why they're so excited to kind of grow and mold with him. But I think for sure he's a guy that'll make a roster on special teams. And then beyond that, who knows? We saw Mac Hollins of North Carolina a few years ago make a roster and get drafted off special teams alone. I think Tanner Connor, Mac Hollins, very similar in that sense. And Mac's carved out a nice NFL career for himself. I think Tanner will as well.
You know, I have to look one more guy. Navy linebacker, Diego Fago. I am fascinated about, after hearing about his story, what intrigued you about him and why did he get the invite?
So the Shrine Bowl's had a great tradition the last decade of inviting a player from Army and Navy every year. We have the Pat Tillman Award, which goes out to any player, not just an Army Armed Forces player, but Pat Tillman playing in the East-West Shrine Bowl. We honor his legacy with the Pat Tillman Foundation to award a player who, before coming to the Shrine Bowl and at the Shrine Bowl, kind of exemplify what Pat did for the Shrine Bowl and for NFL personnel. And I would say Diego's probably a favorite to be one of those guys for the Pat Tillman Award based on how he's going to play this week. But Diego, a fantastic leader, a guy Navy coaches called about before the season all year long. He's also going to long snap along with Alec Lindstrom. He can do that NFL level as well too. But I got a chance, Bucky, to be at the Army-Navy game when he made the executive decision to get the snap out of fourth down, first down, this kind of leadership he has, the passion he has. He's an incredible kid, incredible player too. I think NFL teams like that linebacker. So I don't know who's going to draft him, but I think there are some teams that love those Navy guys, love those versatility special teams guys. I think we can all probably guess which team may want Diego Fago the most, but regardless, he's a guy that's here on his merits, on his ability. But certainly having that Navy connection with the Shrine Bowl history is great to see.
Yeah. And really excited to get down to Vegas and get ready for this thing. I mean, look, I'm excited for Championship Sunday, but I'm also excited to jump on the plane right after both those games and head to Vegas and get set for practice again. We're going to have it live for you Monday and Tuesday and really throughout the day on NFL Network throughout the week. And then, of course, leading up to the game, February 3rd, prime time. I think, guys, this is the first live, like, quote unquote college football game in prime time that we've ever had on NFL Network.
Let's just say it is.
Let's just say it is.
We decided.
Let's not let facts get in the way of a good story, right? So that's awesome. Eric Galko, Director of Football Ops and Player Personnel for the East-West Shrine Bowl, has been our guest today. And Eric, look forward to seeing you down in Vegas here in a couple of days, bud.
We'll see you guys in Vegas. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, great to chat with Eric Galko there. I know we're both excited to get out to Vegas for the Shrine Bowl, but Bucky, you get a little bonus coverage on all in the All-Star Game circuit. Going to be at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl from the Rose Bowl this Saturday as well. So you just get warmed up for us, right?
Yeah, just getting warmed up so I can be game ready. Ready for the Thursday night primetime deal that we're doing with the East West Shrine. But no, it should be fun. Like we're completely beginning to be immersed in all things the draft. And so even though we're a little distracted by the divisional round and then the championship rounds, our eyes are becoming
it's the best time of the year, right? We get the best football and then we start looking ahead to the draft, which of course is what we love so much. All right, so it's All-Star Game season, but it's also, of course, mock draft season. And that's with an S, a Z, and an N. Mock draft season is upon us. Both you and DJ, who has just decided to skip out on today's podcast. It's fine. And you guys have your first mock draft out, 1.0. And both you guys are going Evan Neal from Alabama, the offensive tackle, to the Jaguars at number one. Protect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, protect the quarterback. Can I say it enough? Protect the quarterback, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here with Trevor Lawrence. Support the QB.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think the decision for the Jaguars is an interesting one, right? Because it has to be someone on the front line. It can be offensive line, defensive line, wherever they want to go. But when I think about this pick, Evan Neal is the pick for me initially. But look, man, Ikem Ekwonu is certainly going to be in the conversation because he's talented. So it really comes down to going to the ice cream shop and deciding which flavor.
Yeah.
In this one, I go with Evan Neal, but I could easily see it going the other way if they elect to get out.
The thing I'm curious about with Evan Neal is, you know, like think about tackles that have gone number one, you know, in the past, you know, like, we have to go all the way back to Eric Fisher. The last time we've had a tackle go one overall.
Eric Fisher.
Thinking about like, you know, some of the top guys from years past, you know, that went the big tackle draft of 2 years ago. We had Andrew Thomas. We had, you know, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton,
all those
does
guys.
Does Neal fit into that group in terms of talent coming out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, look, he's pretty clean as a prospect. And you think about the ability to be able to run it. He's solid in pass protection. He has the physicality and the nastiness that you want. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, and even though they're trying to figure out who is going to be the coach, I know that the priority is protecting the franchise quarterback. And there are two ways to do it. One, make sure that he doesn't get hit on pass attempts. The other way is to run it. So now you can throw it comfortably off play action.
Yeah. And then, you know, look, this is going to be a huge draft, you know, for the Jets and the Giants. Both these teams have two picks in the top 10. I mean, for the Giants, you got two in the top seven. You've got them going with Charles Cross out of Mississippi State at five. Mm-hmm. And then two picks later, major upside and potential with the edge rusher from Michigan, David Ajabo, who DJ has called one of the more polarizing players in the draft. A lot of teams have him really high. A lot of teams a little concerned based on the 1 year of production, really.
So now here we go with the New York Giants. And I'm thinking Joe Shane, the new general manager for the Giants, he and I used to sit together in Carolina Panthers meetings. And I'm not saying that we're like-minded, but I do know in listening to Joe at his presser, he talked about the trenches and making sure that you take care of the line of scrimmage. And so when I think about that, the first thing, it's about Daniel Jones. And so Charles Cross from Mississippi State gives them a guy that can protect the passer. But then the other part is when you think about David Ajabo is Carolina, we went to the Super Bowl with Julius Peppers and Mike Rucker and being able to rush the passer. And so when you think about twitch, I don't know if there's a guy with more twitch in a draft than the Michigan standout. And so when you think about how you want to build this and how the Giants have been at their most successful, it's been when the D-line has been able to get after it. I think he kind of fits the mold of the great pass rushers that they've been able to kind of cycle through there throughout the years.
I feel like the ceiling for David Ajabo might even eclipse that of Aiden Hutchinson's, who's got going number two to the Lions overall, but way higher floor on Hutchinson. Just feel like he is dead set on a absolutely rock solid 10-year career plus in the NFL getting after the passer. You got him going to the Lions at two. Kayvon Thibodeau right after to the Texans at number three. Let's get to the quarterbacks here because you got two in the top 11. First off the board, like DJ, Kenny Pickett goes to the Broncos at number nine, which could change considering whether, you know, the Broncos are able to tap into the elite quarterback veteran market.
Nathaniel Hackett, maybe bringing his favorite quarterback from last year.
Maybe.
New head coach Nathaniel Hackett for the Denver Broncos. Certainly he's brought there to kind of figure out not only have to get this team over the top, but to find a quarterback that can compete with the great quarterbacks that are in that division. When you think about Patrick Mahomes, and then you have Derek Carr in that division, Justin Herbert. Right now, the Broncos are fourth in that division, so they got to figure out who that is. And so in this mock draft, I put Kenny Pickett. And when you think about Kenny Pickett from Pitt, the one thing that you like, and I think there are going to be these comparisons, even though I don't think their games are alike, the big explosion that he had his final season will remind some people of the explosion that Joe Burrow had. And then when you see the moxie and the fake slide and the swag and all that other stuff,
he's
going to benefit from those close comparisons. But really good player, solid, probably has more mobility and athleticism than people initially gave him credit. That is going to help because as we see the game shifting in front of our eyes at the quarterback position, Kenny Pickett is a guy that can kind of give you some of that stuff that we've seen on display throughout the postseason.
Got to be a little bit of that mobility. Kenny has it. He's got the leadership. He's got the make your teammates better. He's got the magnetism that you want from a quarterback. All of it, Pickett has it in spades. And then the next quarterback off the board comes two picks later to Washington. I think we all agree Washington's quarterback, starting quarterback for this coming season is not on their roster right now. Although, you know, at least the starting quarterback for the future, the franchise quarterback is not on the roster at this point. But Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, absolute gunslinger and kind of has that mentality too. Could end up being that guy at number 11, Buck.
Yeah, look, the Washington football team is in a really tricky spot because Tyler Heineke is a solid player. I don't know if he's good enough when we look at the way that we're seeing the separation with the quarterbacks. And so when I look at Matt Corral coming from Ole Miss and what he's been able to do, not only a guy that can kind of play on the script, but the improvisational skills and the running ability, but it's the moxie and the attitude and all that other stuff. Because you have to remember, he stepped in an Ole Miss program that, look, was down at the bottom. He and Lane Kiffin kind of get together. They kind of figure it out. They play well. They put up a bunch of points, win a ton of games, go to a bowl game, a big bowl game. And so I just think for the Washington football team, who will soon, by the time we finish up our time at the East-West Shrine Game, they will have a new nickname and new uniforms.
That's right.
That we'll be able to talk about. They'll no longer second. Maybe be the Washington football team. They may be the Washington Blanks. Who knows?
Right.
But we will get a chance to see what they do. And I think for Matt Corral, I think he is the perfect guy to run this offense because, look, he can do the same things that Tyler Heineke can do, but I think you're getting a much better package overall at the position.
Yep, I'm with you. And then just lastly, your first wide receiver off the board comes in the top 10 at number 10, goes to the Jets from Ohio State, not Chris Olave, but Garrett Wilson. Does he feel like wide receiver one to you, or did you just like the fit with Wilson to the Jets?
I think the fit is important. I think the fit is really important. When you're building out this wide receiver core and you think about what Zach Wilson needs, he kind of needs the rock-solid playmaker that can kind of make it happen. And when you look at Ohio State, they have so many weapons on the outside, and some of the guys that you really like are not eligible yet. But Garrett Wilson is a playmaker, and the differences between he and Chris Olave are subtle. Like, to me, Chris Olave puts a lot of points in the paint, might be a little bit more of the chain mover, but those things, Garrett Wilson is steady, yeti, and dependable, can do a lot of different things for you. And when I think about pairing Garrett Wilson with Elijah Moore, I like that with, you know, the opportunity of what you want to do in the passing game. I think it gives them a chance to be rock solid.
Yeah. I mean, Garrett, you know, he's got speed for days, right? He can go, he can take you on the deep ball, but man, his first step too, if you're going to get up in press coverage, beware, because he will make you look silly, like he did to that Maryland corner on a goal line fade route. Telling you, Garrett Wilson can go, and he's got such. Here's the thing, like about high end receivers, that you know, as a receiver myself, Bucky, and you know, like I didn't have the let's just say I didn't have the luxury of being patient. When I was running routes, I was full speed the whole way, right? I had to go just to get there on time. You know what I mean? Garrett Wilson does not. And you can see the change of speed in his routes, and he uses it so well. And he's got such high end speed that he can change gears in the middle of a route and absolutely make a DB look silly. It's really, Brett, really fun
to
watch.
Like, it's funny because I think like we're always influenced by what happens in the previous year. And I think the impact that we've seen from Jamar Chase, the explosion that we've seen from Cooper Kupp, and the impact that we're seeing on these wide receivers. We can talk about, oh, there's so many, you can get one in the second round. I think it's going to be hard to sit tight and say, oh, no, we'll just wait. When you see how many of these guys are making big impacts on the biggest stage.
There it is. Bucky Brooks's mock draft 1.0. Look at the first 11 picks for the rest of Bucky's mock draft. You can check him out. Try Bucky Brooks, try mock draft. It's on NFL.com. You won't have to look too hard to find it. And we'll be right back to wrap up this edition of Move the Sticks after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Move the Sticks. Big thank you to Eric Galko, Director of Football Ops and Player Personnel for the East-West Shrine Bowl, for joining us here with his look at some of the best prospects at that game that we will see. And you can, too, live on NFL Network Thursday, February 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, prime time. Reminder, we'll have some coverage from practice on Monday and Tuesday there in Vegas. So looking forward to that. Thanks so much for being with us here on Move the Sticks. Enjoy championship weekend, everybody.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.